All right, congratulations to Steve. He is qualifier number one on four quarter pick'em 2.0.
It's back.
All the way back. We will be qualifying people all week, a few times a day. So listen in. We're gonna come up with some more creative ways to get you qualified too, rather than all the time just say, hey, caller number whatever, call in right now. We're gonna make this as dumb and potentially as painful as possible.
Love it.
For everybody.
Very on brand.
At some point. But that just depends on when we start thinking of dumb ideas, which...
They got to happen organically. You can't force them.
Oh, yeah. They come across pretty often. I got an email during the break about... And a few tweets about Fleck. All you got to do is just say PJ Fleck, and then it's just like, yep. Can't confirm. Hate the guy.
How do you know if someone hates PJ Fleck? Don't worry. They'll tell you. I'm one of them.
Chris emails into the Equitable Bank inbox. He says... I don't really understand it myself, as I've never met him before. I just know I hate him. This weekend, I flipped over to the Minnesota-Purdue game. Very first thing I saw was a close-up of PJ's face, and the voice in my head immediately screamed, bleep, no! Why did this happen? I have no idea. I'm not saying my subconscious knew he would lose to Purdue, but at this point, I can't say it didn't. As long as we're acknowledging that it is illogical, then great. And
100%.
I am not saying that he's very, very weird, right?
Who do you illogically hate?
That's a good one. I'm sure there's a lot of people.
Okay.
A lot of baseball players who played sure. in the AL Central over the years. Mm-hmm. You know who I illogically hated for a really long time? And everybody loves this guy. And
Jim Thome.
It turns out, no, I like Jim Thome.
Okay.
It turns out that like he's like a universally loved baseball player in like the baseball community. I didn't know about this at the time when I was a kid, and I just thought, what the hell is this guy? Juan Uribe. I hated Juan Uribe. His big old he played third base. He had his huge glove. He had a weird batting stance, and he was just seemed like he was talking all the time. I'm like, I don't want to deal with you, Juan Uribe. You just spend the entire summer just murdering my baseball team. I hated Juan Uribe. It was irrational. Now I'm fine with Juan Uribe. I don't have to deal with him really much anymore.
Let it out, man. It feels good, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
Feels nice. Is there any coaches on the wheel who I irrationally hate? I don't know. / I don't think so. But we'll always let you know if we come up with one. Question from the text line. We're waiting for Mickey to go, by the way. I'm confused on why we haven't done an hour of Braves talk yet, SMH. Interesting. Interesting text. Did that come from Josh? I don't know.
It did not come from me, but it did come from my new best friend. Hi, Texter. Let's talk. They swept the Mets. 10.5 games back on June 1st.
It really is amazing how... Whatever the most painful scenario is for Mets fans, and look, they're still going to be in the playoffs, right? And they're still going to have a chance to
lose to the Dodgers.
Yes,
the Braves have that opportunity too. Don't get me wrong.
Right, they're still going to have a chance here, but man, what a collapse! That lead was 10.5 games about what, 5 weeks ago? Maybe a little more than that.
There was a 4-game series where the Mets won 3. And I think they were up 6 or 7 games after that. And I said, okay, Braves are a wild card team this year. That's
okay.
Fine.
Looks like Mickey's up, by the way, so we can stop with our banter. They just tweeted it out.
Okay. I am on the Huskers.com waiting for the stream to come online.
Just go to Twitter @Huskers, and they tweeted out the link. Mickey's already talking. Well, come on. We got to get on this quick.
This is Huskers.com, baby.
All okay. Right. Here's Mickey.
Friday, so everything has to be accelerated. So everything's going to be pushed up a day for his practice, so we're doing it. We're doing that right now. Appreciate the coaches and the players for adapting to what we're trying to do. Questions?
When it comes to player traits, how high does toughness rank on your list, and how tough has Casey been for the first 5 games?
Well, toughness on my list, growing up in my family, you had to be tough, physically and mentally, and so it's number one on my list. If I question your toughness, then I can't play you. So if I had a friend and my dad didn't think he was tough, I couldn't hang with that guy. So toughness is high on the Joseph list, so it's high at Nebraska football right now.
How tough is Casey
Ben? Casey's tough. Casey comes from a tough family. You know, Charles raised tough kids. You know, he's from right there from Oklahoma City, but Casey's been tough. He's been getting hit, but he's been getting up. You know, he's been getting up when he was down on the turf. He took my arm. He said, "Hey, Mick, I'm going back in the game." I said, "Okay, that's what I expect you to do." They know I want him to be tough.
Hey, Mickey, when you watch the tape of the O-line, where do you feel they're at right now? What needs to get better to make that a little bit more consistent up front?
I think they're doing a great job of run blocking right now. We got to work on our pass pro. But I think, you know, when you're shuffling in and out, you got to get your best five on the field. But right now, I think, you know, it's not where we want them at, but they're getting better every day in practice with Donnie. Donnie's doing a really good job of getting them out there. So they're getting better doing it. And as coaches, we got to make sure we're helping them with the scheme.
What do you do at right tackle this week with Hunter Anthony and Bryce Benhard? Do you rotate those guys, or what's your plan with those guys this week?
Yeah, they were 49 and 44 snaps, so they split it. They split it, so we're going to rotate them again.
How did Hunter do kind of get his first major playing?
I thought Hunter played okay. I didn't think he played great, but I thought he played okay, held his own. You know, guys, it's 86 plays in a game. It's going to be some mental errors. It's going to be some physical errors. That's going to happen. Now it's about getting the kid to overcome it and get to the next play. So the big thing, if you do make a bad play, get to the next play. Don't let that one play beat you twice. But I think those two kids together, that they can give us a solid right tackle performance on Saturday.
Mickey, did you get a chance? You had mentioned you were going to look at Turner Corcoran film. Did you didn't mention if you were going to field? Did you get a chance to see the tape yet?
Well, We're waiting on the Big Ten right now to before I comment on it, because I don't want to say how I feel and then the Big Ten say something, you know, so I don't want to, you know, get some bad enemies because I said something I had no business saying. So I'm not going to comment it on right now until I let them comment first.
Hey, Mickey, what do you make of the Big Ten West six-way tie for first place and the so-called preseason favorite is winless and let go of their coach?
Well, I think it's football that you don't know what's going to happen. You know, I think everything in athletics is, you know, day to day, and then on games is, you know, week to week. But it's the Wild West right now. Everybody's fighting. But if you look at the games are coming down to the fourth quarter. It's really tough games. It's coming down to the fourth quarter. So we're going to take one game at a time. We got Rutgers, and we got to get ready for Rutgers. But the West is wild right now.
Given what you guys have gone through and where you want to get to this year, the fact that the division seems to be pretty much up in the air, is that a favorable thing for you given the situation that you guys are in right now?
I think it works in everybody's favor right now, just because it's kind of balanced right now. So I think it works in everybody's favor. But like you said, we're going to take one game at a time, and, you know, just – that's all you can do right now is just worry about getting ready for Rutgers right now and not worry about what's going on in the West. But I'm sure everybody notices, you know, that it's 1-1 or 0-2. But it's nothing you can control right now. You just can control what you're going to do against Rutgers.
Hey, Mickey, did you notice a different pep in the step after a win? You know, the guys worked so hard and they were finally rewarded with a conference win.
Well, that was the big emotional part for me, was just seeing their faces after the game, because they've been in so many close games that they hadn't closed out. So just the moment in the locker room, seeing the relief on their face, like, okay, we know we can do it. You know, you can always tell somebody, oh, I know you can do it, but if they never do it, then they're going to have doubts. But they didn't have any doubts in the fourth quarter. We asked them to finish in the fourth quarter. We asked them to strain to finish, and they did, and they won the fourth quarter. But they practiced that way. They practiced that way for the last 2 weeks.
What was the biggest difference on defense in your mind? What was that? Why were you able to force 8 3 and outs and all that?
Well, Sip, you know, we talked about it last week. We said, what we're going to do? Get them lined up. Get lined up. That's the big thing on defense. You know, just get them lined up. You know, my brother Vance yesterday, he got his team to line up. When you can get them lined up, now they can recognize what's going on and recognize formation. That's the big key, recognizing what's going on, but you got to recognize the formation. So I thought they lined up, then they played with their hair on fire.
You know, in the first few weeks here, I mean, when you look at where the team was and where they are now and the improvements, what do you look at and say that's what I'm most proud of?
That they're trying to be physical. that they're trying to be physical.
Mickey, what have you made of Malcolm Herzog's progress over the last couple of weeks as a Big Ten freshman of the week today?
That's a great honor for Malcolm, but we do everything around here with the team. So Malcolm, he couldn't pick that fumble up unless CK blocked it. CK wouldn't have blocked that punt unless we had Rush from Taggy and the rest of the boys. So it was a team thing, but we're happy for Malcolm, and we knew Malcolm was going to be a good player. You know, we just had to bring him along, but he's a good player. He's a good young player.
Yeah, did you see a difference in Ty Robinson at all Saturday, just the motor that he was playing with? It seems like people have been waiting for some of those kind of splash plays for a while from him.
Well, yes. I asked him to cut loose. I said, okay, 99, go back. Go back to your old ways. Start cutting loose. And I thought he played free, and I thought he played with some fire, because that's the only way that kid can play, is to cut loose and play with some fire. He can't play calm. He's got to be ready, charged up, ready to go, and he did that Saturday. And I'm proud of him for that.
How about Isaac Gifford? He played a lot of snaps out there. What did you see from him?
Well, Gift's a solid player. Gift's a solid player. Gift understands the scheme. Gift plays fast because he understands where the ball's going before it snaps. And Gift's got a lot of heart. Gift's going to tackle you. He's going to cover you, but he's going to play his heart out. He plays hard every snap, but he's a smart football player. He's a smart football player, and he understands what's going on before the ball snaps.
Mickey, the athletic department put out that video of post-game locker room with Trev and you and the celebration. With Trev giving you the game ball and so forth and saying that this one was for you, I guess, what did that mean to you?
Well, I was happy, like I said, I was happy for the kids and the coaches. You know, I was happy for the kids and the coaches, and I'm always going to be happy for them before me, because I understand that without those guys, it wouldn't be no me. So it was a great accomplishment, but it was a great accomplishment for the entire athletic department, the entire university, the entire state. So it felt good that we was able to get the win, and people can wake up Sunday morning, go to church, and have something to talk about.
Thank you. With Friday being the first kind of true road game this season for your team, what kind of response are you hoping to see out of them in a different environment?
Well, I don't think the size of that field going to change. You know, we just got to jump a couple of states. But we still expect them to come out and play with some fire, and we got to get them ready. We got to get them ready for a hostile environment, not knowing what's going to happen over at Rutgers. But we expect them to come there and be a physical football team. We always say the most physical team's going to win the game. So we expect them to get ready this week and get ready to go on the road and play Rutgers.
How'd you feel like you and Whipple managed the clock offensively and maybe slowing down the pace?
I thought we did a really good job, because we have, you know, Whipple's been doing it for a long time. You know, so he kind of runs with it sometimes. You know, sometimes I'm thinking it, but he's already thought about it already. So Whippers does a really good job of, you know, running the clock down, and he understands that. And I'll just give him my side sometimes, and most of the time he's going to tell me, no, this is what we need to do.
You said on your show last night that you wanted to run out the clock in the second quarter a little bit differently or better. Was there, would you like to run on that second down instead of a pass?
Well, like I said, I wanted to run. We shouldn't have given the ball back. That's on me. We shouldn't have given the ball back. We should have ran the ball and got out the half 21-14. We gave it back to them. They came down. They did a little pick play, and you know, they got it. They got in the end zone. But you know, we should have ran the ball and ran the clock out.
There's a fine line, right, between pick plays and just really well executed throws, but how do you talk to your receivers about that? Because, you know, I mean, you want to try to run plays or kind of rub routes, but that one seemed pretty more egregious.
And we're not doing that. We're not doing that.
Coach Garrett Nelson had a pretty solid game. I mean, just another example of a leader kind of stepping up. How important is he to the group?
He's a big part. He's an emotional leader. When he speaks volume. So we love Gary. Knew Garrett. Garrett always comes out and play hard, and he's really more. Now I got to get him to get lined up after he gets a sack, because he wants to run around and do his little dance. But I got to get him lined up and get him back, because I was screaming, go back and get lined up, because they were tempoing us. But you know what? It wouldn't trade that kid. I'm happy to have that kid. That kid's been a day one leader since the day I arrived on campus. And he works hard. He comes to practice every day. The kids follow him, so it's good to have, you know, Gary Nelson's on the team like that.
Anthony's averaged 120 rushing yards per game. Has anything about him
surprised you even since camp to where he's at and what he's done?
No. We thought he was probably the best back in the country coming out of JUCO. So nothing surprises us. You know, spoke to the people from Florida State. They say no, because you know they tried to get him back. You know, tried to get him back, but no, nothing surprises us by Anthony. He just was a little sore today, so he didn't understand that he had to go get treatment. He didn't know why, you know. But we let him know why he needs to get treatment. But no, there's nothing surprises by that kid. That kid's going to do what he has to do for us to win games.
Is that going to maybe have to be how it has to be to have him carry it 20? He had 32, I think, on Saturday. But is he going to have to be in that 20-some range with carries? Or
I wish I can tell you that. But I can't, because we got to do what we got to do to win the game. So I wish I can tell you that he's going to carry 30, 35 times a game. I couldn't tell you that. I wish I could, but I can't. We're going to do what we have to do to win the game. If it takes he only carries it 10 times and we got to throw it 60, then that's what we got to do. It depends on what's going on with the game. And this week we felt like we had to feed him because he was getting tough yards. He's tough yards.
What's it say about him that he had already had 30 carries by the time he's the lead blocker on Casey's touchdown run, and it was a pancake block that he knocked him down? What does that say about him as a player?
Well, it shows you that this team has bought in about being physical on both sides of the ball. That was with play 80. Yeah, that was snap 80. And you didn't see, and I said it was a team thing. You seen Brewington come across, and he knocked this guy, right? He knocked this guy off, and then Anthony let up, and Casey was able to walk in the end zone. But it shows you that they trying to be physical. Don't worry if it's play one to play 80, that we're going to stick our face in the fan.
You mentioned that, you know, we might see Chuba in more of those situations like you used him on Saturday night. How did he bounce back from that series that he had, which obviously didn't go the way that he wanted?
He's got to have a quick memory, you know, just erase it and move on. Like it's what I said earlier. We got to learn to move to the next play. You couldn't let that play beat us twice. So he was ready to go back into the game if he needed to. You know, he understood what happened. He held the ball. You know, you got to put the ball away. You're going to take the sack, take the safety, and don't give him a touchdown. But he understood that. You know, that's giving him game reps. He needs game reps.
Did your second game on the sideline in charge feel any different? Do you feel more comfortable in game two?
Yeah, like I said before, it slowed down a little bit more. The referee knew my name this time, you know, so that was pretty cool. And I knew his name, so it still didn't help. I still got a lot of flags, but it was slowed down a little bit. And it was just coaching the kids the same way, coaching them and staying engaged with them. And I thought the coaches did a really good job of helping me do that.
What do you see on film about Rutgers' defense and also its offense?
Rutgers had a really tough defense, really good against the run. I think they only given up, 292 yards, something like that a game. But Mr. Shiano, I mean, he's going to build his thing on tough. And if you know the one thing about him, he's going to have tough football teams. So it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a 9-on-7 drill.
What is the toughest thing about getting ready on a short week for a game like this?
Just trying to get the bodies back and trying to get the mental work up. So you got to try to get the bodies back, and you got to try to get the mental work up, because everything's accelerated.
Coach, you said that the reason why you put Chubb in is because you wanted to have Casey kind of see things from the sideline. How do you think that affected him from the next drives on when he went back on the field?
Casey?
Yeah.
No, Casey was okay. Casey was okay with that. He came in yesterday, and we sat down. One thing the kids can do with me, we can talk. And they can tell me how they feel. And he didn't want to be taken out of the game, and he expressed that. I mean, he let me know, like, that was – I didn't want that. But then I explained to him why we did it, because I'm always going to explain to him why, because it's a why generation. So he wants to know why. So I told him why, and he said, well, I don't want to do that again. I said, well, I don't want to do it either, but if I have to, I will, because I'm going to be consistent with him. I'm not going to be wishy-washy with him. I'm going to be consistent with him, what I'm saying. He's no different than anybody else. If we think he's struggling, he's coming out. That's anybody. That's the way you got to run your football team. You can't treat him any differently. He don't want to be treated any differently. But he expressed how he felt, and I appreciated that. But at the end of the day, he understands who's the coach.
Hand out any black shirts after that one?
No.
There are a lot of recruits in town this weekend. What kind of a home can you get from them seeing an atmosphere like that on Saturday night?
It was great for them. It was great. They stayed. Some of the family stayed back to visit with me after the game, and some of them stayed late as 11:15, 11:30. So I thought it was a great atmosphere. I thought all the commitments were solid. So I thought it was a great night for them to see us play.
What did you think of the light show?
The light show. Oh, the four quarter light show. Oh yeah, it's nice. I mean, I'm. What you want me to do about the light show? I mean, yeah, it was nice. I think it's nice. I think, you know, it. I got other things on my mind than that light show, you know.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. That is Mickey Joseph. All right. Hire him, right? We just finished the press conference, right? That's what everybody has to say now.
This is our weekly hire him segment.
Hire him. The light show is pretty good. There was a couple really good ones in there. We'll come back and sort of recap that. Odd news is coming up as well. We'll have Sauter at the bottom of the noon hour. But I want your guys' thoughts on Mickey there. Let's talk a little bit about that. I think it was the third or fourth to last question there about Casey Thompson and his conversation with Mickey Joseph about what happened, why he got taken out of the game. The streamlined communication or the direct communication and what that means for this team. And that's how it's supposed to go. All right. So we'll recap that. We want your guys' thoughts. 402-951-1620. You can give us a call. You can send us a text. You can tweet at Happer Show at Connor Happer. And you can, of course, comment on the stream as well. We'll come back with more next on 1620 The Zone.